We're going to get started. The Committee on Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs. Today is Monday, March 3rd. We don't have a quorum yet, but we're going to turn this meeting over to the Boundary Adjustment Group. I believe Christine Scatillo is going to go first, and then the municipal boundaries, and then the task force, and then Representative Markworth. Yeah, go ahead, Representative Markworth. Please come to the table. We now have a quorum, so I will officially call the meeting to order. Representative Markworth, go ahead and state your name for the record.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. I am Representative Paul Markworth, and we're here to discuss the House File 3357. And did you want to move that at this time?
Before if you would like to move your own bill, that would be great.
Move that, and I think it's going to be hopefully to be re-referred to the Government Operations Committee, I believe is where this is going.
That is correct.
So, well, what we have today is a bill that really is a culmination of the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Advisory Task Force. And this was a task force that was set up in legislation in 2006 and then extended again in legislation in 2007. And for some of us members here on this committee, we dealt with this issue quite a bit a couple years ago with Chair Mark Olson. And we came to some decisions at that time, but one of the things we talked about is how there's a lot of unfinished business, and that through a task force we could maybe help resolve some of that and also look at some of the changes we had made, whether or not we had to come back into that. When it comes to municipal adjustment and annexation, as rural members, once we hear that, we tend to scurry for cover. Because if you look at rural members like myself, I represent 21 cities ranging in population from 6 all the way up to about 8,000, and I have 59 townships. And I know we could go around this table and it would be very close to that. So that's what I really like about this task force, is that with someone who has both cities and townships and a lot of them, that it's nice that we have a task force that's working through these issues with members from townships and members from cities being represented. The bill we have today is really a consensus bill. It's one where all sides have come together on. And I think what's really important about it is that the bill that you're going to see builds a very strong foundation for some of the more debatable issues that will be coming off of this. But I think what it's done, it's cleaned things up, and there have been some substantive changes made, as Judge Johnson is going to be talking about later, to this, but I really think it sets a strong foundation for that. I want to, at this time, introduce some of the members of who were all on this before I get to the ones that are up here on the table. But from the Senate, we had Senators Rick Olsen and Betsy Wergland were the senators. And also I've asked Representative Magnus, who is the other House member on this task force, and he has another committee meeting, but if he makes it here, Madam Chair, I would like to allow him to make a few comments. He's worked very hard on this. Then we also had Township Representative Gary Peterson, John Chirper, and Kent Sulem, and City Representative Susan Arntz, Patty Gartland, and Gary Newman. And the way we're going to do this today is we're going to have Ms. Scatillo is first of all going to give a bit of an overview and annexation, because there's a lot of new members here. And then Judge Bruce Johnson will give an overview of what's happened in the task force. And after each of those presentations, we'll open that for questions, if that's okay. And then Ms. Scatillo is going to go over the bill, and you're going to ask questions during that time. And then when we're complete, I think there's then representatives from the city and also from the township that would like to discuss where they're at. And then I know, Madam Chair, I think you've got someone else who also would like to testify at that point.
That's correct. Representative Marquardt, I would like us at 5:20 to let Mr. Nass have the last 10 minutes of speaking.
Well, I'd like to introduce who we have here, and I feel honored to introduce the chairman, and he will be speaking later, the Honorable Bruce Johnson. And he is the Assistant Chief Administrative Law Judge right now and has worked with boundary adjustments since 2005 when the Office of Administrative Hearings took that over. He probably deals with...
Representative Fulford.
I'm sorry, just real quickly, I've got another appointment today. Yeah. Can you just tell me, is there anybody that's in opposition to your bill the way it stands right now?
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, none that we are aware of.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. So it's... Sorry I've been wordy here, but we've
I have some appointments, and I didn't know if we... I mean, in the past, we've had some pretty good food fights over this issue, and I didn't know if we were headed that way today or if we were in the kumbaya mood and everything's in agreement.
Madam Chair, what's in the bill has been agreed upon by both the cities and the county.
The one thing that you should know, Representative Holberg, is I am sending out a letter today to members on all sides. I do not intend to hear any more annexation bills. For one more year, I want them to work through this task force, and hopefully we'll come to some real consensus on some of these tougher issues. So it is my intention to not hear any other annexation bills this year, and that we're going to let them work for a little while longer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Judge Johnson has probably worked on about 20 boundary adjustment petitions per month, so he's got a lot of experience in this, and has worked very hard in bringing sides together and coming up with some great dialogue at the meetings. Even though I've missed everyone but one meeting, I have to say that. But the one meeting I was at, it was very good. And in hearing reports from others, it's been very, very productive. And then we also have Ms. Christine Scatillo, who is the Executive Director of Municipal Boundary Adjustments. And she's been working with that since 1995 under four different agencies. And the outline of the bill talks about the different agencies that's been in. So the expertise we've had on this to guide the task force has been great, and I think we're very, very fortunate to have these two people working on that. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Scatillo so that she can give us a little bit of an update on annexation.
Great. Please go ahead and state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Christine Scatillo, and I'm the Executive Director of the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Unit in the Office of Administrative Hearings. I'd like to begin with a little overview of the unit and the process, and then focus a little bit on the three types of annexation, since that seems to be what most folks are a little bit interested in. The Minnesota Municipal Board was created in 1959, with the enactment of Chapter 414, which is the statutory chapter that we're working with in the task force. And it is the decision-making authority for determining municipal boundary adjustments throughout the state. And the board operated as an independent agency until it sunset in 1999, when it was transferred. All its duties and responsibilities were transferred to the Office of Minnesota Planning Agency, and subsequently, Chapter 414 references to the Minnesota Municipal Board were changed to the Director of the Office of Strategic and Long-Range Planning, which is how the statute currently reads. Well, in 2003, the Planning Agency was abolished, and Municipal Boundary Adjustments was transferred to the Department of Administration by executive order. And then in 2005, it was transferred from the Department of Administration to the Office of Administrative Hearings, where we've been since. And even though Chapter 414 still refers to the Director and to the Office of Strategic and Long-Range Planning, since 2005, the decision-making authority resides in the Chief Administrative Law Judge, who has delegated the role of Director to the Assistant Administrative Law Judge, Bruce Johnson. And the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Unit now operates under the Office of Administrative Hearings under the Administrative Law Division. MBA, or Municipal Boundary Adjustment, has the authority to administer and adjudicate the uniform system of municipal boundary adjustments in the state, and it acts through its decision-making authority at its monthly review meetings and an administrative and rulemaking hearing. Legal orders are issued for the creation or the dissolution of municipalities or the alteration of municipal boundaries through consolidation, detachment, and annexation. We serve a local population of individual property owners, townships, and cities, all who have the right to initiate boundary adjustment proceedings and are directly affected by decisions of the MBA. At the state level, the Secretary of State, the State Demographer, as well as the Department of Transportation, Revenue, and Natural Resources all depend on municipal boundary adjustment decisions to inform and assist in the performance of their various business functions. Our procedures are organized into hearing files and non-hearing files, and that is by operation of statute. The administrative review and decision of any boundary adjustment filed under Chapter 414 that does not provide for a hearing procedure, or where the right to object is waived, or where a hearing is not required due to a joint filing, are all processed as non-hearing procedures, and they are reviewed administratively on a monthly basis. Boundary adjustments that are filed under any section of the chapter that requires an administrative hearing, or where a hearing is triggered by the receipt of a timely objection, are going into our hearing process. And not all hearings are contested. For example, if a township seeks to incorporate, the statute automatically requires an administrative hearing, whether there is any opposition to that incorporation or not. Once a file is in hearing status, the statute requires that we convene a first hearing within 30 to 60 days. But we have the authority under law to invoke some procedures prior to the parties going to hearing in an effort to try to assist them in resolving the conflict. And one involves a series of local discussions, which we can direct the parties into, where they are required to meet at least three times over a period of 60 days. And at the end of the 60 days, they are to report back to us the status of those conversations. And many hearing files are resolved at that point. If not, the parties also have the option of going into a mediation process where a third-party neutral is appointed, and they work with a mediator to try to come to some sort of resolution prior to hearing. And if those options aren't successful, then they will go to administrative hearing. In this situation, the municipal boundary adjustment would refer the hearing file to the chief administrative law judge to assign an administrative law judge to conduct the fact-finding and hearing process and to make the final decision. The statute allows for the right of appeal. The appeal goes to the district court of the county in which the land is located. And the costs are borne by the parties. And if they can't come to some sort of consensus on how the costs should be allocated, then the law provides for the chief administrative law judge to make an allocation. Much of the conversation in past committee hearings and in this committee today will probably focus on the areas of annexation, but let me remind you that there are 10 different kinds of boundary adjustments authorized by Chapter 414. There is the process of incorporation for townships to seek to incorporate, or for a percentage of citizens within the township to put forward a petition to incorporate. There is annexation by order. These are filings which automatically go to hearing whether or not they are contested. There is annexation by agreement through an orderly annexation agreement that is negotiated between cities and townships. There is annexation by ordinance, under which a city council may pass an ordinance declaring land annexed if it meets certain statutory criteria. There is also provision if the Pollution Control Agency orders service extension for an area, a city would have the option of annexing that property by ordinance or extending a service contract. There is consolidation of municipalities. There is a review of township after every census. there's detachment of property from the city going back into a township, and there is concurrent detachment in annexation where between two abutting cities. And under section of the 412.091, there is a procedure for us to conduct a hearing on the question of the city dissolution upon receipt of the petition. Quickly doing an overview of the three kinds of annexation. We have annexation by order, where the property must abut the municipal boundary and there's no acreage limit for the petition. It can be initiated by a resolution of the annexing municipality, a resolution of the township within which the property lies, a petition of 20% of the property owners or 100 property owners, whichever is less, or by a joint resolution of the city and the township. The statute mandates an administrative hearing, whether there's opposition or not, and provides statutory factors that must be considered by the decision maker. Before filing an annexation by order, there must be a notice of intent to annex served on the township with containing the property 30 days before a petition is received by us. For orderly annexation, one or more townships or one or more municipalities may by joint resolution designate an unincorporated area for orderly annexation. Thereafter, any signatory to the agreement or the chief administrative law judge may initiate annexation of any part of the area designated. An administrative hearing is required unless the joint resolution states all the terms and the conditions for annexation negotiated by the signatories and states that municipal boundary adjustments may review and comment but shall order the annexation within 30 days. Before adopting an orderly annexation agreement, there must be a published notice of intent to designate, which contains a description of the area to be covered by the agreement. And the third way is annexation by ordinance. Land must abut the municipal boundary, and the acreage limit varies depending on the section of this part of the statute. Annexation by ordinance provides six different ways for a city to declare unincorporated land annexed by ordinance. No annexation by ordinance is effective until it's approved by municipal boundary adjustment. And two of the six methods for ordinance annexation require a 90-day objection period for the township. If objections are raised during this 90-day period, then that triggers a contested administrative hearing. Some of the categories are if the area is completely owned by the city, they can annex by ordinance. If it's totally surrounded, they can annex by ordinance. If it's 120 acres or less and they have all of the property owners petitioning, they can annex by ordinance. Or if there's a preliminary or final plat for an average lot size within 2 miles of the city, they can annex by ordinance. The city must hold a public hearing, though, upon 30 days' notice to the town and affected landowners within and contiguous to the area to be annexed before they can adopt an ordinance for annexation. And finally, subdivision 3 is 60% or more bordered, 40 acres or less. A notice of intent must be served upon the town board and municipal boundary adjustment. The township has 90 days in which to decide whether or not to object. And subdivision 5 has platted land with no acreage limit, or if it's unplatted, not to exceed 200 acres. A majority of the property owners must petition. There is a 90-day objection period. And no objection, and all the owners have signed the city hearing before, there is no city hearing before the adoption of the ordinance.
Madam Chair, if there's any questions at this time for Ms. Sotillo, we'll take those now.
Questions from members? Great, hearing none. Please continue.
At this time, Representative Mangus, would you like to have a few opening comments?
I have.
And he's been a crucial member here of the task force, so Representative Mangus.
Well, thank you, Representative Marquardt and Madam Chairman and committee members. I guess I was the point of this task force before I made the speaker mad at me, but I didn't know for sure. You know, we've heard a lot of horror stories about this, but I could tell you that, and we had a lot of meetings, and I could tell you folks that the people we had from the cities and in the townships, virtually every meeting made progress on issues, and I don't think our progress is done. I can't thank my two co-testifiers here enough for their leadership on this issue. Judge Anderson and Ms. Cotillo done a great job. And, you know, I was jokingly said I made the speaker mad at me after I got appointed to this. But you wondered how this would turn out. And as I said, we've made progress the whole way. Yeah, it's been quite a labor. One of the ladies from the cities even had a baby during the time. So, labor effort. But we've made significant progress, and I think you'll see in the bill we have in the comments here that we've gone through, that we have done that. Our work is not done, of course, and I, look forward to continue working on this, and our relationship is cordial and very professional, and I can't thank the members of the task force enough for that, because I think there was a lot of apprehension everywhere that this, you know, we would not make much progress and not be able to do what we've done so far. So I'm proud of that, and I look forward to continuing the work and see how we turn out the rest of the time frame here.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Magnus. At this time, I would like the chairperson of the task force, Judge Bruce Johnson, to give us a little bit of a summary of what's all occurred.
I will. Madam Chair, members, my name is Bruce Johnson. As Ms. Cotillo said, I'm Assistant Chief Administrative Law Judge at the Office of Administrative Hearings, and Chief Judge Krause has also delegated his administrative municipal boundary adjustment duties and responsibilities to me. So that I function as head of municipal boundaries by delegation. And I have also been serving as chair of the legislative municipal boundary adjustment advisory task force. Before I primarily wanted to just briefly summarize the work of the task force, but I want to follow up on some of the things Ms. Cotillo said and put in context. As Ms. Cotillo indicated, every month I am presented with somewhere between 20 to 40 annexation petitions, which have to be reviewed and which I have to approve. So we're talking about several hundred a year. And then Ms. Cotillo talked about contested cases that go to administrative hearings. Maybe three or four a year at most. So there's a sense, I think, among a lot of parties that this area of the law is highly controversial, and it can be. But I guess what I wanted to point out is a vast, vast majority of annexation matters are dealt with by the parties and resolved informally. It's only a few cases per year that actually go to a contested hearing that is a trial-type hearing and result in a quasi-judicial decision. So I think that perhaps, especially for new members, that's a piece of context that I think is important to get across. Cities and towns work together with the vast majority of these matters to work them out. And so when we're looking at problems, we're looking at a fairly small slice of what happens. In any event, the legislation authorizing the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Advisory Task Force contemplated that our first meeting would be by August 1st, 2007, and that a report to the chairs and the members of the House and Senate committees having a jurisdiction over local government issues would be completed by January 15th, 2008. We were unable to make that deadline, in part because I was not appointed as chair until the end of September. But I want to assure you we got to work fairly promptly after that. In any event, our first scheduled meeting was on November 5th, 2007. In advance of that meeting, I requested the members, the representatives of the cities and towns and other members, to exchange with one another, the expectations they had for the task force, what they hoped that the task force would accomplish, their views on what issues and topics should be discussed, and also specific changes to Chapter 414 that they wanted the task force to consider. And they did that. And the task force's first two meetings were devoted to a general discussion of those expectations, those views on major issues, and their proposed changes to Chapter 414. And actually, during those first two meetings, those discussions, it became very clear that it would, first of all, be very difficult for us to complete our work and have a final report to the legislature by January 15th. There was just way too much to consider. But, on the other hand, I think in a spirit of cooperation, all of the members believed that it was possible to achieve consensus on a bill proposal that we could present to legislative leadership by February of 2008 in time to be considered during this session. So, in essence, what we did is we looked over these lists of issues and proposals, and we tried to identify those that seemed to lend themselves most readily to consensus. To put it another way, you know, quite candidly, we decided we would start trying to pick the low-hanging fruit. And we were fairly convinced early on that we would be able to come up with a meaningful bill, which I might add is now the House file that is before you. Then, so our immediate goal became getting a bill done and getting an interim report, which we have filed, that is essentially based on that bill. But there's a lot, along the way, there were a lot of more controversial issues and more substantive issues that, as we talked, we were not able to readily get consensus on. And that doesn't mean we're going to ignore them. In fact, I think the task force members will let you know, we got relatively close on some things that just didn't get into this bill. And so what we plan to do after in our next several meetings are a couple of things. One, the first meeting that we have, the next meeting we have, we've agreed to devote to allow townships to spend the whole 3 hours laying out their issues, basically giving them uninterrupted time to state their positions, to present their proposals, however controversial they may be. The next meeting, we will do exactly the same thing for cities. And then we're going to start the process of seeing, okay, where are we? What do we have to reconcile to get consensus on some of these issues? And we're going to work very hard to try to get further substantive provisions that hopefully could get into a bill next session. Now, I don't think any of us are under an illusion that we'll be able to get complete consensus on everything. But I think we can, again, this was a good first try, and I think we can narrow the number of issues that divide parties. What we plan to do then in our final report is to lay out those issues for you, and with some degree of specificity, setting forth the respective positions on those issues, so they're crystallized. In other words, in some cases, there are policy choices that the legislature simply has to make, or things that in some cases members may think there are mixed signals within the bill, and we're going to try to identify them for you, and even for those that we can't reach consensus on, at least I think the legislature will have a roadmap of what kinds of issues will have to be addressed in the future. So that's basically our plan of action from here on. I think the one thing also I want to say is, although the bill before you is primarily technical, and I think I'm quoting one of our city members, a lot of the changes are technical but with substantive impact. They actually do impact the substance of municipal boundary adjustment. And the other thing is, I think what has been important, the bill before you has been less important than the process, because I think we really have started a process where parties have been able to come together once or twice a month and very respectfully express their views of the issues and talk about these things. And I think I believe we've created an atmosphere that makes further consensus possible within the next several months. So that's in essence the thumbnail sketch of what we've been through. And if members have any questions, I'd be glad to.
Questions from members.
Wow. Madam Chair, thank you very much, Judge Johnson. And certainly we've talked about the process, but as Judge Johnson mentioned, the process is probably more important than even the bill. So that's why we want members to hear that. What is our time frame again, Madam Chair?
Well, some of the members on the committee have to be on a bus to go to a representative Mullery's committee at 5:30. The bus is leaving. But so you're free to take the next time. I'd like 10 minutes.
Okay, very good. Well, if it's all right with members, Ms. Scotello will go over the bill, and if you want to ask questions while she's going over it, maybe that's the best to do, and she's willing to do that. Ms. Scotello, if you...
Madam Chair, members...
Ms. Scotello is between microphones, and we're trying to rectify that.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House File 3357 is divided into two articles. The first article contains all of the changes that the task force worked through to Chapter 414. Article 2 contains all the conforming changes identified by the Revisor's Office to references to the Director and to the Office of Strategic and Long-Range Planning, changing those references to the Chief Administrative Law Judge and the Office of Administrative Hearings. With respect to Article 1, Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4, all proposed changes to 414.01, which is the enabling provision for municipal boundary adjustments. Initially, there is the change. A duty of the planning director becomes the duty of the chief administrative law judge. Section 2 makes it an addition to legislative findings, adding language that includes a reference to joint agreements for annexation, consolidations of cities, and mergers of towns and cities as part of the cooperative efforts encouraged by the legislature. Section 3 adds language regarding subpoena powers only to make it consistent with the existing procedure within the Office of Administrative Hearings of issuing subpoenas for witnesses at administrative hearings. Chapter 414 also had that authority in it. And Section 4 makes changes to the compelled meetings, the subdivision 16, which is one of the alternative processes I referred to earlier by which we can encourage communities to get together locally and have the three meetings prior to within 60 days and reporting back to us. Is there any questions on that part so far?
Questions for members? Seeing none, please continue.
Okay. Section 5 of the bill adds the definition of Chief Administrative Law Judge to the definitional section. Section 6 of the bill adds a requirement to the notice of intent to incorporate to reflect the fact that property owners may file a petition to incorporate as well, and this just identifies who then bears the burden of publishing the notice of intent to incorporate. Section 7, 8, and 9 make changes to the annexation by order section of the statute. Similarly, Section 7 adds language to the notice of intent to annex to reflect the fact that property owners can initiate annexation procedures under this section of the statute, and this clarifies that when that happens, who bears the burden of the notice of intent to annex. Section 8 adds a provision to this section requiring that the presiding administrative law judge tour the subject area during the administrative hearing, and also speaks to who's eligible to go on the tour and how the route of the tour is to be determined. Section 9 adds a factor to be considered, which just refers back to the requirement of tour. Sections 10, 11, and 12 make changes to the orderly annexation section of the law. Section 10 adds language trying to distinguish and define the difference between land that is designated for orderly annexation by a joint agreement and land that becomes actually annexed some point in the future under that agreement. In a joint resolution for orderly annexation, communities can designate an area for future annexation and annexed out of that area over a period of time pursuant to the terms of their agreement. And this language tries to distinguish that just because parties designate an area to be designated for orderly annexation, that doesn't actually annex the area. They have to further file an annexation proceeding. Section 11 makes changes to the notice of intent to designate by removing the requirements that the town and city that have just negotiated an orderly annexation agreement must hold a joint public hearing, but it still preserves their obligation to publish a notice of intent to designate before adopting the agreement. Section 12 broadens the options available for local communities to design a planning authority for the designated area. Previously, the chapter only allowed them three choices, and this broadens that to include other options for them. Section 13 makes changes to the joint informational meeting. It clarifies the publication requirements for the joint meeting, that the co-chairs can establish time limit for the testifiers, and identifies the type of information that can be received at the joint informational hearing. Section 14 makes changes to the differential taxation by limiting the tax provision to annexations that are filed by order. This is where, if there's a disparity in the tax rate between the subject area and the city that's annexing the property, it allows the communities to present evidence that the tax rate should be gradually stepped up over a period of up to 6 years. It also makes an affirmative statement that parties to an orderly annexation agreement can still opt to negotiate this provision as part of their agreement for areas that have been designated. Section 16 adds language that whenever a unit of government is divided as a result of a boundary adjustment proceeding, the chief administrative law judge, in consultation with the parties, can designate a qualified person to assist in the division of property and obligations. And the idea was to have somebody with technical expertise help them apportion the assets and obligations. Section 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 make changes to Section 414.12, which is the director's authority and powers, now the chief administrative law judge's authority and powers, and rearranges language and eliminates some language that is made unnecessary by virtue of the fact that boundary adjustment is now in the same office with the Office of Administrative Hearings, and so we don't have this whole delegation process over to another agency to do our fact-finding and our administrative hearings. Section 21 of the bill extends the advisory task force until December 31st, 2008. And sections 22 and 23 address the repealer sections and the effective date.
Questions from members? Representative Marquardt.
Very good. We are finished presenting the bill at this time then. We'd like to have township officials and representatives from the cities also come up and say a few words. And I would ask, townships come first, but if you would introduce everyone that's here that worked on the committee and have them wave their hand or whatever so we can actually see who's doing that. So at this time, it looks like Mr. Sulem is making his way down. And thank you very much, Judge Johnson and Ms. Cotillo. So.
Thank you for your great work. Please come to the table and state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, I'm Kent Sulem with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and I'm joined today by Don Sherper and Gary Pedersen, who are the other two township reps on the task force. And I'm going to be very brief. If you hear from me all the time, I want you to hear from them as the fresh faces to this process. However, before I turn it over, I do want to just highlight a couple of points in the bill that I think shows how well the process works. On page 2, there's what seems to be a very minor provision, a line 2.9, talking about joint resolutions for orderly annexation, consolidations, etc., being added to the list of preferential items in the findings. And to me, this was actually, even though it's a small little piece, it actually had been a township proposal 2 years ago when then-Chairman Olson was running the committee and had great consternation with it between the two sides. And so I think this goes to show how the two sides actually came together and actually put a proposal from the cities that had mirrored one from the townships before. And also on page 9, when we talked about the role of the informational meeting, when that process was initially brought to the task force, it proved to be much more controversial than one would have thought. But thanks to the efforts of our chairperson, we were able to reach a very good compromise on it. So I think it just goes to show that while this bill is primarily technical, the process, as the chair indicated, is working. It may not always be as quick as we'd all like to see, but it is definitely helping us make progress. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues.
My name is Don Sherper, and I'm helping represent the township. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I appreciate this opportunity to serve on this task force. And the bill presented today addresses basically technical changes, as has already been explained. But I look forward to other areas of agreement between the townships and the cities that will improve the annexation process and hopefully eliminate contested case boundary disputes. We need this conversation. It could prevent division in the community, resulting in animosity, and as well as major financial burdens for both the cities and the townships. As one of the city representatives had stated, orderly annexation agreements are much more desirable. Until the final report of this task force is submitted, I believe no annexation bill should be heard other than the consensus bill before you today. And I was frankly disappointed to hear that other bills had been authored and introduced, which would have circumvented the process of the task force. It would be counterproductive at this time to consider proposed legislation not discussed in the task force setting where both cities and townships can explain their positions. This process is working, and it is constructive. Civil conversations are taking place because participants have faith in the method. I am optimistic that additional progress can be made if the process is not derailed by legislative proposals preempting discussion. There really is no wrong time to do the right thing. And I believe the right thing to do at this time is to deny hearings on any other annexation proposal. And in line with that, I appreciate the chair's statement verifying this at the committee's opening hearing statement today. So I commend you for that. The task force process needs to be completed before other annexation proposals are heard. And cities and townships can make progress by continuing honest and cordial conversations in a task force setting. I urge your support in forwarding this consensus bill as a good first effort agreement between cities and townships. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to comment to members that I actually did encourage anyone who asked me to introduce their bill for annexation before I had decided that I was not going to hear them. I had not yet met with the judge and Ms. Scatillo to find out how the process had worked, whether or not it was successful, whether or not we were going to see some value out of continuing on with the discussions. And so out of fairness to the cities, I wanted to disclose that fact that I did encourage them to introduce whatever legislation they had. I then subsequently met with the judge. He talked about how wonderful the process went and what great success they were having. And so that's why I decided not to hear any of the bills. So I just wanted full disclosure.
Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead. Please state your name for the record.
Karen Peterson. I'm from Dover, Minnesota, Elmira Township, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you very much for that statement, Madam Chair. We appreciate hearing that. And I'd like to thank you for hearing us and appointing the task force. I think the task force, I didn't know how it would go when I first got on there, but I think we've had some very open discussions. And they've been, thanks to the judge's input, very civilized, and I think we have made significant progress, and I think we will continue to do that. I'm very upbeat about it. It will take us time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, and I would support extending our task force to at least the end of this year as well. The bill that's in front of you right now has been stated prior today, pretty much technical in nature. We do agree with everything that's in there. It, again, is a consensus bill. We don't have a problem with that bill. I'm here in front of you today more concerned about the future and hoping that we can continue to have good talks as a task force and asking for your support as a committee to keep us going and keep the talks going. Thank you.
Questions for members? Representative Goldberg.
Madam Chair, on page 13, I see you are extending the task force until December 31st, 2008. That may be a consensus to do that, but let me just, if you look back in the other ones, sometimes task forces need to have another meeting after Christmas to be able to put everything in place. So, you know, one thing you might want to consider is you were in January 15th of the previous year, you might want to say January 15th of 2009 also to give them just a little bit more time so that they're here when we're in session as well. I don't know if that's a big deal or not.
I'm fine with that, Judge. Fine with that. All right. Representative Marquardt, you might want to accept that as a friendly amendment to your bill.
I don't know what date would be the best, 1 month or just half a month.
All right. Thank you very much, Member, or Representative Marquardt, for your next testifier.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and now we could have some representatives from, oh boy, they're ahead of me here, they're right behind me. Go ahead and introduce.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Arnt. I currently serve as the city administrator for the city of Waconia. It's in north central Carver County. Also on the city side of it was Patty Gertland, to my right, the city administrator from Sartell, and the assistant city administrator, Gary Newman, from Rochester. Gary's not here this afternoon, as you can see. Patty's going to share with you some opening comments, and I have a few of them.
Go ahead, state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. As indicated, I'm Patty Gertland. I'm the Sartell city administrator. I've been in that capacity for about 6.5 years now. And prior to my role with the city of Sartell, I was also planning director for the city of St. Cloud for about 15 years. And during that time, I had a quite great number of opportunities to interface with annexation-related matters. In fact, my history with annexation statute will actually take me all the way back to 1992, when then-Senator Randy Kelly convened a committee of city and township folk in attempt to attain some consensus on changes to law at that time, and we were actually successful at that time in doing so. So I've had a long and very intimate role with annexation statutes, and this task force has been, I think, another successful experience in terms of the many good things that came out of it. I concur with the chair who described it as a technical bill, but there are some substantive impacts that those technical changes make. In particular, I think we felt that it was a good provision to clarify in law that the presiding administrative law judge actually tour an area in question when there's a contested case annexation. We think that makes good sense and is a very good provision to have added into statute. I would also point to the provision that was added into law relative to how planning is done in orderly annexation areas. Current law would provide three specific alternatives for how you do planning in orderly annexation areas. This will create the opportunity for the parties to the agreement, the city and township, to create their own approach towards planning. That may be creative or an alternative to the three prescribed in law. In my own particular city, that will be a beneficial situation. It's something we in our township have talked about and would have liked to have been able to done. So I think that is also a very positive and substantive provision in this bill. It did take us 6 meetings to get to this point, to come to agreement. Unfortunately, there were a couple of other provisions that we did spend a fair amount of time. We were very hopeful that we would be able to come to agreement on those and see those as part of the consensus bill also, but we just simply weren't able to attain that consensus in wording to accomplish that. Those are provisions that I guess we would be hopeful that the legislature would be willing to address, and had hoped that the committee would entertain those as separate bills. They didn't circumvent the task force process. They were discussed as part of the task force, but our approach was things needed to come forward on a consensus basis, and we just weren't able to achieve wording that both sides were able to come to complete agreement on. So we would respectfully request that you give consideration to that. We continue to concur with the chair and be willing to continue working on the task force. We, other than really stating our written positions on the enabling statute that lays out policy and goals, we really have not had any discussion on those substantive provisions of philosophy, and I think that it's always helpful, I think, for parties to be able to communicate, if not to come to consensus, to hopefully gain better understanding between one another in terms of where we're coming from. Beyond that, I think Susan had a couple of other comments. We certainly appreciate the committee's support of the task force effort. It's been a positive experience, I think, and we're very pleased to be able to support the technical bill that also has some substantive meat to it also.
I would echo what Patty said about the need to get some of these, the technical language that had been submitted previously, moved forward. One of the pieces of that was to attempt to address extra payments or payments that are being required by the townships in order to gain consensus. In our community specifically, within the metropolitan area, we are anticipating getting into issues potentially with the Met Council about our ability to grow in our area and use the sewer infrastructure that the Metropolitan Council has put in place. It's presented issues with other communities where they are choosing lower densities and some of those kinds of things and aren't growing in as efficient manner as the Met Council had desired. And so we are concerned that some of those provisions certainly are going to need attention. And we're hopeful, certainly, that we can get some consensus, but are concerned about the timing as well.
Thank you. Questions from members? Seeing none. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. That does conclude our testimony and presentation. But at this time, Madam Chair, if that was the Solberg amendment, I would certainly accept that as a friendly amendment. It looks like on page 13, line 9, and page 13, line 15 and 16, you'd have to change December 31st, 2008 to January 15th, 2009. And I think that's agreeable with the Chair and others, and I think giving us a couple more weeks would be fine. So I don't know how we do that.
It's page 13, line 11, delete December 31st and strike 2008 and insert January 15th, 2009. And on page 13.
No, ma'am. Chair, that's not.
Representative Solver.
Page 13, line 20, delete December and insert January. And on page 13, line 21, delete 2008 and insert 2009. The reports are still due at that particular time, but this gives an opportunity for them to come before the legislature as a task force of standing to be able to report that to the legislature.
Great. So it would be page 13, line 20, delete December, page 13, line 21, delete 31, and strike 2008 and insert January 15th, 2009.
That's okay.
Very good. I will accept that as a friendly amendment.
All right. Questions from members? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. We do need to take public testimony, and in doing so, I would like Mr. Nass, if you would like to come to the table first. Representative Marquardt, I asked Mr. Nass if he would come. He came to share his personal story, and I wanted the members of the committee to hear how the decisions we make here really do impact real people's lives. And Mr. Nass has a, I think, a compelling story, and hopefully the task force will take up this issue as well. So, Mr. Nass, welcome to the committee, and please go ahead.
Yes, I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me speak. And for the record, my name is Chris Nass. I'm a lifetime citizen of Washington County, Minnesota. I'm here today to represent my family and the issues of my parents' property and home where I grew up. My parents are now 75 years old, and I've been trying to sell, and they have been trying to sell their home and property for over 10 years. In the middle 1990s, a developer approached my parents and seven other landowners with 235 acres to join together and ask to have their properties annexed from the township of Baytown into the city of Oak Park Heights. The township officials opposed the annexation. The battle between the township and the landowners ended up at the Minnesota Municipal Board. The Municipal Board decided to compromise of allowing 60 of the 235 acres to be annexed into Oak Park Heights. The 60 acres was already partly developed and plotted for commercial use. The rest of the land went into the city of Lake Elmo, which has no water or sewer and had no plans for fence development. Since this time, all the lands except for around 70 acres have been developed, and my parents own about 27 of those acres. All desirable land around us has been put into high-density commercial, high-density residential, and low-density open space residential. All potential buyers have told us that the issue of your property is not suited for rural residential, which Lake Elmo has it zoned for. Our property sits along the busy Highway 36 corridor. It also has big XL Energy High lines that run through it and is now bordered by high-density commercial. We have been told on many occasions to find any kind of use for this property, it would have to have city water and sewer. We applied to Lake Elmo for zoning changes but have been denied. The only choice was left for us was to try to be detached from Lake Elmo and be annexed in the city of Oak Park Heights. In mid-2006, we and two other landowners started to proceed with the detachment. One of the first steps that were done was that the city of Oak Park Heights requested a joint council meeting with Lake Elmo. Lake Elmo rejected this meeting and would have no discussions on this issue. We then started to proceed to get a hearing with the municipal boundaries adjustment. Everything at this point was letting us proceed for a hearing for the concurrent detachment of our property. The second call we made to the municipal boundaries adjustment in the fall of 2006 was when we found out about an amendment that was made that took our right to this hearing away. We were told with the law change that the landowners and cities don't have the right to proceed with contested detachment, which others in the state still have. This leaves our family and others that own property that abuts other municipalities in a very difficult situation and leaves no or limited options to get fair market values for their property. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from members? All right. I have referred Mr. Nass to the Boundary Adjustment Task Force Group and hope that this will be one of the issues that they talk about as well. Now, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, questions from members. Representative Shumper.
Representative Marquardt. I live in a township that has litigated with the city for probably 35 of the last 38 years over annexation. And it's like an epic joke in our area. But what happens here if the administrative law judge makes a determination and the township doesn't like it?
Representative?
What's the recourse?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Shumper. I will turn this over to our expertise, Ms. Cotello.
Ms. Cotello.
Madam Chair, Representative Shumper, if it's a contested case hearing in which the city prevails and the township is not successful, they have the option under statute to appeal to the district court of the county in which the land is located within 30 days of that administrative order.
Okay. And
Representative Shumper.
And that remains the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Further questions from members? All right. Seeing none, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 3357 as amended be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Governmental Operations, Reform, Technology, and Elections. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Madam Chair, thanks so much for taking the time to hear this important issue. And I also want to thank again Representative Olson for sharing that back in 06 and also the townships and city reps who have come to the table and kind of laid things out and our chair and Ms. Cotello. It's just, I think this has set up a great springboard for some of the more contentious issues that are coming up. So thank you so much, members.
Thank
Madam
you,
chair.
Members. We have minutes. Would someone be willing to move the minutes of Wednesday, February 27th? Representative Calvi.
I move the minutes of February 27th.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We are adjourned.